This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. It's Carm Capriotto, another Town Hall Academy with the Remarkable Results Radio program. 10 years plus strong. I want to remind everyone about the Breaks for Breast program. It's October, all of October, and the program is great. It's breaksforbreasts.com. You know I'm an advocate and heavy wanting you to support this. We got some great, great partners and sponsors on the podcast. Please support them. Hey, did you know that Napa Trax has on-site training plus 6 days a week support? It all starts when a local representative meets with you to learn about your business and how you run it. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Let us prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Find Napa Trax on the web at napatracs.com. Ready to optimize with today's class? Boy, listen to an episode we did with David Boies. Great program. Roll out a training plan for your automotive shop. In just 5 minutes daily, boost knowledge, retention, and improve team performance. Start seeing results today. Join your peers at todaysclass.com. Shop owners, stop juggling multiple marketing tools. Kukui's integrated platform, they deliver 4 times better website conversions, automated follow-up, and real-time ROI tracking. Get industry-leading customer support with Kukui. That's KUKUI.com. You're probably tired of chasing new customers who never return. We understand. Pit Crew Loyalty ends the one-and-done cycle, turning first visits into lasting, reliable revenue. On the web at PitCrewLoyalty.com. Hey, welcome back. Let's get started. Look, I've been so curious about ghosting, so curious about doing good interviews. I got a great team here from Promotive. Let me introduce them to you. Danny Ekstrand, the Promotive Recruiter Team Lead. Wow, I love that. Hey, Danny, good to have you here.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Stacy Black, Promotive Account Manager. Hello, Stacy.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Oh, good to have you here. And Shonda Hosier, Promotive Recruiter. Hello, Shonda.
Hey, Carm. Thanks for having us today.
Look, one of the toughest parts of hiring is ghosting, it seems. You mentioned the word ghosting to anybody in the industry, and they, it's almost like, I'm sorry, I depressed your day. It happens on both sides. And acknowledging that employees also fail to respond to candidates and some owners back, it just kind of perpetuates and it just makes it get ugly like a bad-looking mushroom in the backyard. It just keeps growing. Multiple offers seem to be offered to certain candidates. They feel overwhelmed. So I'm just going to go with this and forget the other ones. And so I want to talk about ghosting today, but I also want to talk a little bit about interviewing hacks and giving good notice and career goals and continuing education and all the things that I know that you care about when you're doing great interviews. I don't know if we're going to get to all of this in an allocated time frame. There's so much to talk about, but poor communication and delays. I almost see the stress that a recruiter like you, Danny, can have.
Yeah, both sides of the aisle, really, with as far as delays go or even just communication, right? Whether it could be shops taking too long to respond to us, candidates that start the process and then, you know, that we're on topic for ghosting as far as the communication, and they're either going to respond or be into it or really not. And sometimes there's no rhyme or reason behind it as far as their communication or lack thereof at times.
Do you work with technician job candidates on their resume and groom them? I mean, I know you're the one who's giving them the interview, but ultimately, if you find a great candidate who's going to go up against the shop owner that you're working for, what kind of tips do you give them?
The main one that I've been using as of late is be honest with yourself of what kind of technician you are, right? Go into those interviews and don't sell yourself as some, you know, God's gift to the automotive field. Tell them what you're good at. Tell them what you're bad at. Because a lot of these shops that we work with, being in the independent space, they appreciate that almost more than you saying you can do bumper to bumper and everything. And they want to be able to teach you.
Yeah. Can you imagine the disappointment that they get when they hire the guy, he jumps in the bay, and within the third day, he's saying, geez, I thought he knew how to do that. you know, the interview seemed to go so well. Maybe I, as the owner, didn't ask the right questions. Or again, if this person is lacking in a certain area, don't be surprised, Mr. Owner, get the education ready for them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's something that I think we try to talk to. I know Stacy does of, you know, are you comfortable training? Are you comfortable teaching? Are you comfortable, you know, investing in these techs as much as, right, these techs are investing in you with their 40, 50 hour, you know, or even more if we're counting flagged and turned hours, you know, a week's to be able to get to where these owners want them to be at.
Stacy or Shonda, either one of you, when you look at what's going on in the industry and you look at ads that shop owners are writing, does it seem almost sometimes too good to be true? You guys are the experts. You know what you're writing. You know what you're recruiting for. But when you look at other ads, and I guess my whole point is I think there's a reason to hire a recruiter because you're really looking to narrow down to get really good, to try to tighten your timeline for this individual, this company, Promotive is an example, gopromotive.com. I'm blown away by seeing some ads saying they look just too good to be true. How about, Stacy, what's your opinion of that?
So I write a lot of the ads for my shops. And the thing that I've learned over the last year is getting more detail focused. You need to let them know you have to be on time. I know that sounds silly, but that's a big factor in this world. They need to be on time. They need to be at their workstation. They need to be ready to learn and grow in the position. They're not there just to turn hours. They're there to make the industry better. And those are the shops we're looking for to partner with, is they want them to have have the training, have the ability to go from an A to a master tech or whatever it may be. So I try to get as detail focused, and Danny and Shonda can attest. It's like, okay, they need at least 5 years experience in this. We want 3 years experience in that, because we're really trying to weed out the candidates that aren't qualified, because the last thing I want to do is waste any shop owner's time.
If you're on time, you're late, someone told me once.
Yes.
No. I learned that lesson a lot in my early days. And it just seems like there's a lackadaisical attitude for some people that says, I'll get there when I get there. And if not, it's too bad. I'm good. They want me. They'll have to wait. Well, that just doesn't work in the real world of business, especially at top-tier shops. Top-tier shops are there for a particular reason. Those are the ones that hire you. Oh, stop and think. You're listening to this and you're a tech looking for a job. You're listening to top recruiters for top tier shops. And if you want to get those, if that's a career goal, that's what you want, you got to listen to every word we're talking about here. That's a great point. So strong first impressions, right, Shonda? You got to have that. And if you get done with an interview with a client, a prospective technician is looking for an opportunity, will you then, after this particular interview, then critique it and say, listen, you're going to go up against the owner. I think you're really great, but you're rough over here on a couple of edges. Do you do that at all?
We do. We actually spend a lot of time prepping our candidates for their in-person interviews with the shop owners or general managers, whoever that might be. You know, we've had technicians show up in flip-flops and, you know, take the interview a little more casual than they probably should have. And so we really do our best to cover all the basics with them, you know, clean up before you leave work, throw on a clean shirt, be on time. If you're not, communicate that to somebody. Make sure you really just put your best foot forward, because you might have a ton of years of experience, but if you're not showing up and representing that, they're not going to believe it.
Okay. Here's the big question for you all. Is all this work that you're putting in, all this energy that you're giving to the client, help prevent some ghosting?
It does help prevent some of them. We do our best to catch as many as we can. I had one today, for example, that decided he just wasn't going to make it to the interview and wasn't going to let anybody know that until I had reached out to prep him to meet with the shop owner this morning. And at that time, he let me know that he wasn't going to make it, which is always nice to know beforehand. So that was one that we prevented.
But was there a reason?
He decided that the commute was too far.
Okay. And that happens a lot, doesn't it?
It happens occasionally where they have, you know, long enough to really reconsider and, you know, come up with any excuses as why it was so great yesterday as an opportunity and not so great today.
So what happened is you found out that the person wasn't going to make the interview, right? If you had not contacted that person and found out and then contacted the shop owner, then that would have been a pure, absolute ghosting situation. I guess the story and the why I want to do this episode is, where's the class that it takes? I always think about reputation. I think about, if I'm ever going to go for an interview and I don't do it right, I'm stupid enough to ghost, that's a legacy that's going to hang on me for a bit. And then when these top tier shop owners get together and says, yeah, I just interviewed a guy from blankety blank and he ghosted me. Don't you think that this is not a reputation that you want to have, that you want to be as professional as you can? If you're joining in a professional organization, communicate, the C word.
Right. That's the big thing. That's what we all need. That's what we all want. I wouldn't even say it's industry based, right? I mean, with my background going back, I've been in recruiting total for about 6 years, from light industrial to education, and it happens across the board. But it's something like, right, Shonda, Stacy, myself, and all the other recruiters that we try, right? I tell these guys, best thing you can do with me is communicate, is, you know, let me know if they don't show up or if something does come up. And, you know, I try to build that friendship, that relationship with them. So hopefully they feel comfortable coming to me, but it's going to happen, unfortunately. And, you know, it's for me, an example of a true ghost was, I'm based out of Minnesota. I was at the Minnesota State Fair over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday I went. And I had a guy that was going to go in Monday, Labor Day, for an interview. And I was sitting there texting him as I was walking around the state fair and confirmed it all. I was messaging another account manager of ours, Brian. He was all set, ready to go Sunday. I got a message from Brian Monday afternoon. So-and-so didn't show up to the interview. And I'm like, how? So even at just 24 hours, it can flip. And I haven't been able to get a hold of the gentleman since. And I've reached out the last couple of days, texting and calling to get a hold of him. But unfortunately, I'm not sure what it is.
Is it generational?
I wouldn't put a pin in it like that either, because it, at least with being here, it could be a guy that's fresh out of tech school to a guy that's been in the industry 30 years.
Doesn't matter how old and how sophisticated, how educated, it just happens. Is it, I don't care? Is it laziness? Is it lack of respect? This is too important of an episode not to try to narrow down what needs to be done from at least the candidate side.
Danny and I had a super candidate for a shop that Danny was talking to him on the way to the interview. This shop is progressive. We've been trying to find them quality techs. They're a little more rural area instead of a big city. He and I are both excited about this interview. Going to happen. Half an hour later, I get a call from the shop. He no-showed as he was driving to the interview. What do you say to that, to a shop owner? It's like, no, he should be there. And we've had that happen more than once, and I don't understand it. I'm wondering. Most of the time, they say that they got sick or they had to go to the hospital or there was a family emergency.
Okay, let's reschedule.
We usually can't get a hold of them.
Wow. You got the toughest job on the planet, you guys.
It's the most rewarding.
I love that. Think about that is such a powerful, powerful message. When you get it done, it's the most rewarding.
We change people's lives. We get them in a good quality shop that's going to train them, that's going to give them a wonderful wage, that can put food on the table, let them go on wonderful vacations. This isn't just a minimum wage job. This is an amazing adventure for these guys that can make a difference out in this community, in their community. Think about it. If they're not working, vehicles don't run. What happens then? It's really powerful.
I love the word adventure.
It is adventure, because you never know what you're going to be working on next. I mean, think about it. What an opportunity.
Hardly a boring day.
No, there's not with us. That's for sure.
Wow. So I'm so concerned. Every industry is having this problem. Is it a lackadaisical attitude on the candidate's side of being serious about the new career opportunity?
I would think so. I mean, I know at least with people that I talk to or candidates that I talk to, if I can't get a hold of them after they ghost, right? It could be one of those reasons, a family emergency or what have you. But a lot of it too is these guys, especially in the industry, they're hot commodities and they know they're hot commodities as a technician, especially if they're a decent technician. You know, so they'll sometimes just take that first job offer that comes through the door, whether they're unemployed or just making a move from shop to shop. And they'll be like, okay, first one that offer me is they get my services, even though, right, it may not be the best culture within that shop, but it's the quickest for them. And I hear that a lot too of, you know, at least as far as if they do communicate with us of that interview that we have to now cancel, is they just got another one. I have a candidate right now that I'm working with that he got a pretty lucrative offer, but he's still fielding interviews because he's seeing if he can get more or maybe pit one against the other or get a counter offer or what have you, even though the shop was very quick and we've worked with them to turn in their timeline or make it move faster so that we can try to get these techs before they get that next interview or that next offer.
Do you find that the pitting one against another or holding out for better offer a lot?
It does happen probably more when the candidates are already at a shop, right? That they haven't been let go or something's changed where they're unemployed. I think it does happen quite a bit of, hey, if I leave, I can get this much more an hour, or I can get hourly instead of flat rate, depending on what the technician's looking for. But I would say that happens quite a bit, at least enough to be like, gosh darn it, not again, right?
Let's face it, your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NapaTrax was built from the ground up to make your business more profitable and efficient. We provide an extensive set of tools to increase and track profitability in real time. NapaTrax offers the industry's best post-sale support, hands down, and we train your people on site. Yep, on site. And we offer remote refresher training 10 times a week, and customer support is open 6 days a week. Give us a call, visit the website, or join our Facebook community today to learn more. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. NapaTrax is always customized and tailored for you, whether you're a one-man shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Visit us on the web at NapaTrax, that's NapaTrax.com. Strengthen your shop's entire team with today's class. Everyone from technicians to service advisors can access impactful training on their phones in just 5 minutes a day. Opt for solo sessions or ignite friendly competition, challenging team members to climb the leaderboard for the highest score. Our effective daily training ensures measurable progress, helping you develop your team. Train smarter, not harder, with today's class and transform your shop and your people. Start seeing results today at todaysclass.com. Shop owners, we know you are overwhelmed with a flood of missed calls, empty bays, and disconnected marketing tools. Kukui has spent over a decade building one integrated platform for auto repair shops, one login, one dashboard, and mobile-first websites that convert 4 times industry average. Smart, innovative CRM with automated follow-up, 24/7 online booking, and real-time ROI tracking. With 900 plus years of combined team experience, we fuel the growth of 2,200 plus shops and have influenced $3 billion in revenue. Stop working harder. Start working smarter. Get industry-leading customer support and book a demo with Kukui. That's KUKUI.com. You know, most shop owners feel trapped spending on ads while half their first-time customers never come back. It's frustrating. It's exhausting. And it's not your fault. The industry average is 54% one and dones. We understand how discouraging that can be. Well, Pit Crew Loyalty changes the story. Our clients cut that rate by up to 38%, raising lifetime value by more than 50%. Loyalty members visit nearly 3 times more often, creating predictable revenue without extra ad spend. Pit Crew Loyalty, where customers stay and shops thrive. On the web at pitcrewloyalty.com. Out of all the technicians that you have that are looking for opportunity, how many are still working and how many are not? What percentage?
I would say 95% of them at least are still working. The ones that are not working have typically just relocated because technicians find employment within a matter of hours at most.
Hours. So if I contacted GoPromotive.com and I said, hey, listen, I'm moving to Houston and I need an opportunity, would that be a smart move, or do I just go there, put up a shingle or look at some Indeed ads and go find myself a job? How's it work?
It's easy for them to just walk into the closest neighborhood shop and let them know that you're a technician that's on the market. And generally, they can walk out with an offer.
But you could get a really bad interview. Just because it's a block away doesn't mean it's a great place to work. But part of what you do is you qualify candidates or you qualify shops that you work for. You're not finding the neighborhood hobbyist that's willing to be part of Promotive, are you?
We're generally trying to match them with what's going to be a perfect fit for them. You know, commute, pay structure, culture, hours. There's a lot of it that goes into play, benefits. So we really try to pair that with, you know, the best opportunity to match what they're looking for specifically.
Is making a great first strong impression in the live interview with the owner critical, top of your list in grooming the candidate?
Yeah, definitely. It's something that we pride ourselves on, right? We're working with these candidates throughout the whole process. So that first phone call with just us through them getting the offer and even 6 months later. So even though everything that we're doing is direct hire, right? We're still talking to them weeks, months, sometimes years after their first interview, just because, you know, as much as we love this industry, we're trying to make sure that those people that we work with and built those relationships are good. But we certainly have a checklist that we go through with each candidate of, you know, the big ticket items of, hey, this might be a good question to ask the owners when you go in there. Hey, make sure you don't show up in flip-flops, or your interview starts from the time you drive into the parking lot until the time you drive out of it. You know, we all have our own stories that, right, we can get to of different and unique and downright funny situations with some of these candidates. But it also helps us remember to be like, okay, we have to cover this because we just dealt with this a week or two ago.
Danny, you said you were doing this for about 5 years now or more, maybe six. Is ghosting more prevalent now than it was, say, 5 or 6 years ago?
I wouldn't say so. It's probably about the same.
So it's been around. It's been around a long time where we just don't give a crap about telling someone, I am not going to be here. I'm not interested in your offer. I can't make the interview. It's just, I disappear off the face of the earth.
Yeah. And I think it's, I mean, the type of people that we try to work with are high integrity, high communicative people. And I know at least our team, we're all very much like that, you know, right? We work Monday through Friday, roughly, you know, but like I said, I was working over the holiday weekend last weekend because I was trying to help a candidate get an interview at a good shop. And like I said, it's been around. I think it'll always be around. But, you know, something that we try to stress and build those relationships is on communication.
It's amazing. You just never turn it off, right, ladies? Never turn it off. It's amazing. Promotive should be so happy to have you all. Is there anything we can say about prevention of ghosting or trying to minimize it? Are there any pointers that we can give to help ease some of the pain of ghosting, to maybe even help prevent it?
I think that something shops can do on their side, because, you know, we look at ghosting as it's primarily the candidate's fault, but there's things that the shops can do on their side to help prevent some of that too. Did the technician drive past their shop and there wasn't enough cars in the parking lot? Was there trash laying in the parking lot? Does their building look run down? Is it too small? Were there technicians out front smoking or having a poor conversation or something in front of customers? What is the reputation of their shop? How do they look online? Is their Google reviews look good? What have they heard through the grapevine of other technicians that have worked there previously?
So that is everything to do with their opinion. And as they form their opinion and they say, no, check the box off, even though you may have sent a resume, even though you may have had a high-level conversation with someone in the shop, you're ghosting them because your attitude for the website just wasn't your cup of tea. And so there's no reason to go back to explain to anyone why you're not there if you didn't have a decent start at a relationship, right? It's just like, this ghosting thing reminds me of life is so crazy. It's coming at us at 900 miles an hour. Okay, these little 30-second sound bites of life. And who has time for stuff that isn't relevant to me? We ghost information. We ghost TV commercials. We ghost everything going around us that we have no interest in. So let's make ourselves as a shop owner interesting. Let's make us as a candidate for a job interesting. And maybe if we've done everything on our part not to be ghosted, yeah, you could get very, very upset if you believe you're a top-notch six-figure candidate and the shop never got back to you in any way feasible. Says, hey, listen, thank you so much for coming in. We really appreciate it, but it's not going to work at this time. Sometimes that's all you need to say, even if it's texting, right?
The other issue that we've had in coaching the shops, if they get a high-level technician and they have a great first interview, they really need to make a verbal offer. Don't say, well, we're going to do another interview. We'll call you in for a second interview. 9 times out of 10, we lose them.
9 times out of 10.
Would you guys say that was about the right number? How many times we lose them?
Yeah, I would say so.
That's huge. So it's like one and done.
Yeah. We do the pre-screen, which is the initial conversation with them. So technically there's two.
Okay. First of all, I get that. They've hired you to, if you will, filter. The reason I hired you is I don't have to do all this stuff. So they're getting their second interview with the shop owner. To the point why they hired you is if you really like this person, and I really think you're gonna, right? So are you whispering in their ear, you know, here's the envelope, open it up, let's talk about that, right? So that, if you will, the envelope's already on the table ready because you're telling them, I think you're going to love this candidate. I think you're going to love this person. So be prepared. The stat of 9 out of 10 is if you're sitting there dreaming about how this person fits into your company and you want to do what grandpa did, and that is come back for the second and third or have dinner with the spouse and all that stuff, you're going to lose
it. It moves quick, right? I think you and I, we all talked about that a little bit earlier, but these guys are fielding multiple offers, multiple interviews on a regular basis. And that change can be 24 hours. It could be 2 hours, right? It's crazy how fast it moves. And these guys are getting offers.
Tough to find candidates, Shonda, to find to have shops interview?
We work with shops in all different demographics. And so it can vary quite widely about, you know, how many candidates we might have in a particular area. I actually just filled a position earlier today that we've had the job for about 9 months because there's just nobody in town, nobody moving into town. They're the one shop in town.
Would you call that lucky?
Absolutely. We will celebrate today.
Good for you. Is it going to be wine? Is it going to be champagne, coffee? What's it going to be?
I haven't decided that yet.
Well, good for you. I mean, I can't imagine what the joy of a recruiter is to find themselves a candidate, connect them, find a, you know, a great shop to work with, and then, oh my God, be a marriage counselor.
Well, and just the reward from the impact that we know that that technician will make for the shop and being able to increase their capacity and bring more to the shop and put more food on everybody's table. That's where we get our reward.
It's so great. Let's do a little bit about interviewing hacks. When you're helping to coach a candidate and or even a shop owner on doing a good interview, listen, there's a lot of shop owners doing an interview is like having a root canal with no Novocaine. You're all laughing because you know it to be true. Give us some background on both sides of this particular challenge of getting a really good interview done by a technician and having a great interview from a shop owner. Let's talk about that a little bit. The things to ask, seriously, you know, look over the resume, you know, don't write on it. I don't think you legally want to write on anyone's resume, but keep a yellow pad on the side and say, well, there looks like a date gap here. Tell me about this kind of training you got. You want to hear this individual speak to you because if you've got a high culture place and they can't describe and explain, Let's talk about the work on each side of the interview here. Let's start with you, Stacey.
You know, it's interesting because I work with such a wide range of shops, and I have some that are very meticulous on their interview strategy. They want to do a phone interview first. Then they want to do a personality profile. Then they will maybe move into an in-person interview. And I'm really trying to get them over that hump of, here's the situation. You can send us the profile if you want. We can fill that out or have them fill that out for you. So, you know, you get all the results and decide if you want to do it. Because again, it's hours for us for this technician. And I'll have shops that will say, well, I interviewed Joe today. I really, really liked him. Fantastic. You know, did you make an offer? And they're like, he's everything I want. And he's going to go for two other interviews and get back to me.
Can't you just sit there in front of him and say, no, you're not going for any more interviews. This is your final interview. Can you say that in confidence to a candidate?
Well, so this is after the interview. And the funny thing about it is, so I'll turn around and tell the recruiters, okay, this is what they decided. And of course, they have a similar reaction. And until they, I don't want to say get burned a couple times, it takes that instance to where they understand that it's speed to lead. We have shops now that have implemented that they want to have them hired within 24 hours. They want that professional offer letter out and they want to get them going. And they also, the other side of it, candidates will give 2 weeks notice. And if they can start sooner, they want them to start because they're worried, are they going to want to stay in their old position and not want to move their toolbox? But, you know, we're trying to change the culture out there with the shops. I come from old school where you did several interviews, especially for a six-figure position. Those days are gone for the technicians. They can go six shops in a busy location in one street and get offers. So we're trying to change that mindset with the shops. But in some cases, it's a little slower. But there's others that we know. We find them a good qualified candidate. They like them. We're going to have an offer on the table and they're going to be hired that day.
Tell me about the 2 weeks notice. How often are you losing the candidate because the 2 weeks notice goes in and they get a counter?
I lost two to the same shop a few weeks ago. Both of them got countered offered by the owners of those shops. So one shop owner hired two people same day. We found some great candidates that fit the culture and the shop. Both shops found out that, you know, they put in notice and they counter-offered higher. But a lot of shops, they don't keep them typically the full 2 weeks. I mean, they're worried about comebacks, returns, you know, that sort of thing.
So if you're really not happy, please, I want you to leave. I want you to go, you know, go ahead, take the toolbox, get it in the morning, get it tonight. And it's been great working with you. Hopefully one day maybe you'll come back. You know, maybe some of the needs that we haven't met with you, we'll work on them. I mean, I think there's but to keep an individual just because it's a pair of hands and the individual wanting to stay because it's all about culture and it's all about team. No, it's really all about money because that's what I got over here. And maybe that's part of the interview process, Danny. You're shaking your head to be able to dive into the reality of a real offer.
Yeah, to go off what you're saying, I mean, it's unique because, right, we have those conversations. Our initial pre-screen is very in-depth from what type of things they're working on to what type of things they're not getting at their current shop or location that they're looking for. I mean, I had a guy that I was just chatting with yesterday that we had an interview scheduled for him yesterday evening, right? That was the thing. He didn't like the management or he wanted a new culture and wanted to get more into heavy line or what have you, right? Or whatever it was. And he had even texted me yesterday, I'm not going to make the interview. You know, at least he did communicate. And I was like, oh, why? What's going on? What changed? And he's like, they must have found out I was looking and made a counter offer. And I was like, okay, but what's going on? Like, you didn't say it was money based. You didn't want to work in this. I think he was in the marine industry or boating industry. And I'm like, that didn't change. Like, you're still doing what you said you don't enjoy doing. And I got you an interview at a place that you said you would love because it's back in automotive, you know, so it's unique. We get every comment under the sun of sometimes money talks, right? That's why we have that saying. But, you know, they don't really stick to their guns sometimes when it comes to what they're wanting culturally and they'll just take the higher paycheck too.
It's easy, Sean, to just not to have to leave. It's easy to stay, even though it's not what you want.
There can be a lot of anxiety in making a change like that. You know, a lot of shops realize that and they'll put an initial guarantee on the table for technicians because it does take a little while to get used to new processes, build your client base, you know, be the new guy in the shop, getting work distributed to you. Because it takes the shop a while to figure out what you're actually capable of versus what they shouldn't be giving you also. Make sure that your quality is up to par. So there is a lot of anxiety about, you know, is this shop going to be busy enough that I can make my hours if they're a flat rate technician? Am I going to fit in well here? Is everybody going to uphold a positive culture that I'm expecting to walk into?
I think your jobs are really tough today. Tougher than we've ever imagined. And in fact, I don't understand why any shop owner would want to go at this alone because of the stress it takes in the grind to find someone. You're taking on a level of stress that the shop owner will have trying to find a candidate, but you're also as emotionally connected to the stress of finding someone and, you know, making an offer and losing that individual and everybody having to go back to square one to find a new person. I guess it shocks the hell out of me that what the individual wants and what they will be willing to accept by staying is just mind-blowing to me. That why would they be looking in the first place if they're willing to stick around? Is that a real important question in the beginning? I'm hearing everything you're telling me that you want, but if you got more money from, you know, your current place, would you stay? Is that one of the questions you ask?
You know, it's not a direct question necessarily, but we do a lot of other questions that try and figure out, are they just looking for more money or are they really looking for a better work environment, more work available to them, better benefits, or are they just going to be job hopping for every dollar more that they can make in another shop?
Can you see that in a candidate, a job hopping attitude?
It's horrible.
Oh my God, Stacy.
I've never seen anything like that. I have watching the 6 months, 4 months, 3 months, I'm like, my goodness, you're moving the toolbox how many times? But literally, we see that all the day, all day. If I see somebody in a location for 5 years, I'm ecstatic. It's like, okay, has he been, you know, keeping up on training? You know, then I roll into the next level of, okay, what level is he now? What is he able to provide to the shop that I want to place him at? But the job hopping, I don't come from that world. I can't wrap my mind around the job hopping.
What's your thoughts, Danny, on the hopping thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that we see quite a bit. You know, and as you know, right, within the automotive space, it's not like they're a temp worker, right, where it is a 6 month contract or anything like that. But like, you know, to Shonda's point and Stacy's point, these guys are moving for that extra 50 cents or that extra dollar, or hey, this shop slowed down in the winter, but this shop's still busy. Let me go over there for 6 months and then I'll move back to a shop that's busy in the summer. And it's nuts.
Well, wait a minute. You're not even going to consider that candidate at a high level shop, are you?
No, generally not. You know, we do our vetting even before we make the first phone call to see if it's, you know, realistic or not. Now, we look at the whole of a resume instead of just a piece because, I mean, post-COVID, things have been are a little wonky. So, right, if you have a guy that was in a shop for 10 years prior to 2020 to maybe a guy who was 2 years, 1 year, 6 months, I'll probably call him, have the conversation, see if I can figure out why he was making those moves. But if they show longevity at a point in their resume, they usually can be, I guess, coerced into showing that longevity again. But if we're seeing guys, their whole resume is 1 year or less, generally they're not getting a call from us.
Let's go back to the offer. This came to my mind. In the discussion, you've got a great candidate, he's sitting in front of me, and you're saying, listen, Carm, I really think this is great. We've done the profile, the personality profile. You've got all that in front of you. What I know about you and the culture shop, this is the person. Do you ask them to talk about the offer, to talk about the benefits, to talk about the incentives, to talk about the amount of money? It's almost like, come here, child, let me sit and tell you about, you know, what your future is going to look like. How involved do you want your shop owner to be involved in the offer for the right person, knowing that you have a 90% they're going to stray if you don't offer and get.
I think for that A-level tech, even a strong B, they need to talk about the benefits, because some of the things that are really important to them is, how much time off do I get? Do I get sick time? They want to know that stuff. Health benefits, that's huge for shops.
Yes, because no matter what someone may throw money at them, here's another dollar an hour, it's 40 bucks a week. Come on, stop, will you? I'm frustrated when it comes to somebody not being able to do the math while they're sitting there, okay? Maybe a great idea is, so you go back, listen, we're ready, we want you. These are the 10 things that are in our benefits package and in our salary package for you. Now, if you're going to go back and someone's going to throw you $2 an hour, do you know how much money that really is at the end of the year versus what we're going to pay you now? And you can start soon.
The funny thing is when I do a job posting, I try to list it by the hours. So I may do, say, 30 to 35 based on experience flat rate, but then I'll say earning potential up to, and I try to list it what that rock star in their current shop is making. So it could be, okay, if you do the math, $35 an hour or 40 hours, that's $72,000, $71,000, but they could really make $80,000 to $85,000. So we say earning potential up to, so they know it's not just based on that. So they already have an idea somewhat of what they could make, and the recruiters are really good about that. With the shops, I try to tell the shops, go with your gut. Don't let them get out that door if you feel like they share your values. A couple things that I ask them to look at: are they interacting with people in the shop? Are they talking to the service advisor at the front? There's just a number of things that you can see if they're a team player, so to speak, and make the offer. That's been a big hurdle for myself to get over, because before I'm like, no, let's talk about it, blah, blah, blah. We just lose too many.
You know, you brought up such a great think point for me in all the interviews that I've done in 10 years. There's a lot of shop owners that say, yeah, we ask them to come in and hang with us for a day. We want them to work in the shop. We want them to get a feel for what's going on. We want them to meet our people. We want them to see and feel and hear. It sounds to me like that's not a good move, especially if the 90% go, if, you know, is there any value in that workaday?
I think it's really hard to determine if someone's going to be a solid hire in just a day's time. You might be able to tell if they're going to get along with the rest of the team and be a good culture fit, but being able to tell the quality of their work is going to take a little bit longer.
No, I understand that. Will they fit into the culture? Can the individual communicate? What about that, the dinner with the spouse, the significant other? Is that important? Does it matter? Or is it just wasting time?
I mean, I think it can kind of go either way. We don't see that a lot unless it's like, I would say, a leadership position within the company. I think Stacy and I, the year we've been working together, we've only had one shop do it. And I believe it was for their foreman or one of their manager positions where they actually did those sit-down lunches. And he seemed to like every single one of them. But, you know, if you get an expensive meal, I guess, right, go for it. But he was able to get to know those individuals really well. But it's a different beast when you're looking at a manager-style position or an operation-style position versus looking at a technician. Generally, those guys for the foreman, manager, operations, they're taking their time. They're interviewing these shops as much as the shops are interviewing them. Whereas with the technicians, we're seeing that quick turn. So we don't see those sit-down dinners nearly as much, if at all.
All right. Look, again, I think we can go on for 2 hours and talk about this, but I really think we nailed some of the essence of ghosting and interviewing hacks. I'd love to go around the room and ask each of you, from all your great experience and the focus that we're trying to have in this episode, any ideas, thoughts for the industry, both you're talking to technicians or you're talking to shop owners, on how you can minimize ghosting or do a great interview and then hire a great candidate. Let's do Stacy, Shonda, and then Danny. Stacy, any final thoughts, ideas that will shake our world?
I don't know if it's going to shake your world, but just staying on top of it, knowing, okay, I've got an interview today at 2:00. I follow up the shops. Are you guys good to go? Any questions? I'll have shops shoot me a text of, hey, he's still coming in, right? Yes, I've heard from the recruiter. We're good to go. And putting on that positive attitude and be excited that these guys are coming in to see them. Honestly, it takes a lot to get these techs out of their comfort zone, out of the base, and getting them into the shops to visit with them and to talk with them and to make it a natural setting instead of, I remember, what do you want to do in 5 years? Well, if I put you in this scenario, what do you think? Just make it a conversation. Find out about them.
And keep in touch.
Absolutely. Please. Make an offer.
That's huge. Keep in touch, make an offer. I love that.
Just make an offer.
Stacy Black, Promotive Account Manager. Shonda Hosier, Promotive Recruiter. Your final wise words of wisdom for us.
If I had any advice, I'd say treat it like a first date. Go in and be yourself, but also don't be afraid to sell yourself. Sell the dream of your shop and why you're better than every other shop in town, or why you're the best technician in town. And then just make sure that you're staying in good communication with the other party. Reach them where they're at. If they're texting, text them. If they're a caller, give them a phone call. But don't be afraid to keep that communication line open.
First date. I love it. That is a real great takeaway for me. Act as if it was your first date. I love it. And Danny Ekstrand, Promotive Recruiter Team Lead, your wise words. Can you top the first date thing?
I don't know. Shana might have me beat with that one, but I'll kind of finish it where I started it. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with the candidates, whether you're a technician, you're a shop. Don't sell something that you can't back up.
And that probably leads to ghosting and I don't care. And yeah, I know you want me to communicate really well, but I just don't care about this person, this company, this. And so we find the time not to respond because we don't care anymore after that point. Amazing stuff. I think we nailed this. I really think we accomplished what we wanted to. We casted an awful lot of doubt, but I also, in how the world works, but I also think we helped people become better recruiters or better candidates for jobs in our industry. And, just behind the scenes information from a recruiting company as big as Promotive, gopromotive.com, you guys really have a handle on what's going on in the industry. And why would anyone want to recruit on their own when they can have you guys carry that load and find us some really good people? Because you said earlier, I think, Shonda, nine months, I think you said the person was looking for somebody in the rural area. I know how tough that is. But to be without an individual, the revenue, the customer service, the stress that puts on the entire organization to have a candidate not for 9 months. Wow. Well, hopefully we've learned a ton here. Thank you so much. Ghosting and interviewing hacks here with the team from Promotive. Thanks for being here, everyone. Now, if you learned something, go do something about it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.